You may be seated. Thank you for this time of worship. We also want to thank God and Holy Spirit for being here this morning. I want to introduce someone to you. His name is Pastor Brendan Maroney and his wife Heather are here today. Pastor Brendan and Heather are planting a church in Alpena, and so we're so excited to partner with them. We're so excited as a church body to be a part of church planting, not only here in Cadillac, in which you all know we're planting a church, but we're also sharing and helping and ministering to people in Alpena. Rachel and I planted a church years ago, 20 years ago in Alpena, and I love how God has moved and worked in that ministry.
Right.
Well, we met Brendan and Heather during that time, and really how cool it is that how the Holy Spirit just in the DNA of the church, that very church was church multiplication.
Right.
And so understanding that as the church is desire is to reach and teach and reach the lost, they're the daughter church of the church that we planted years ago. And so really a kind of a cool thing to see things happening, how God's work and his word is being shared and spread. So love on Brendan and Heather today because they're in the trenches, right? They're in the trenches. They're meeting people. They're talking with people who just need Jesus severely. And so we want to love on you guys today. So thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you.
Share with us and what God has put on your heart.
Amen.
Thanks.
Amen.
Well, good morning, Dighton.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. I was standing up here and me and Jim were talking. I could feel the Holy Spirit in here. I could feel it off whoever. I really could, and it was just a wonderful feeling, you know, to feel that there is work being done for the gospel, for Jesus in here and out there. It was amazing. And then I was talking to Ben, and I could feel the affirming calling of ministry in his life for whatever reason. So I'm just putting that on you, Ben, all right? And it was just like my calling, you know. But my calling is a little different, you know. I was going to prison before, you know, after I got called into ministry, and so I did ministry in prison. I was locked up for a little bit, but you all have a calling, each and every one of you. But it is a pleasure to be back. As last time, you got to experience my transformation. I shared my testimony, what Jesus was doing in my life, in my family's life, my wife's life, my kids. I got to share some horrible experiences and some delightful, joyful, beyond measure experiences. But today, we're going to embark on a different journey. Through an incredible story of a man named Saul. You guys know who Saul is? Everybody? Who is he? Who is Saul? Paul. Yes, yes. There we go. There we go. Saul experienced a transformation like no other. And this transformation it still resonates today. The account of Paul's life is a powerful testimony of God's unmerited grace. His ability to transform the most unlikely individuals, people, you. And he gives a life-changing impact. But let us dive into this remarkable story. If you guys have your Bibles, does anybody bring Bibles here? Hands. I want you guys to be a church that walks in with a Bible, all right? Reason why I say that, because people will know when they see you walking into church with a Bible, they will know this is a Bible-believing church. And that is so important. So important. I know digital age is amazing, Jim. I know it is. But there's nothing like the sword that is tangible. When you feel the pages and you flip them and you go through it, and it just all blends together into this amazing account of all these people centering around one. So we're going to be in Acts today. We'll be in chapter 9 for the most part. But first and foremost, Paul was known as a zealous persecutor. Very zealous. I'm going to read something. You don't have to go to this. It's just a quick couple verses. But 7:59 through 8:1, it says, while they were stoning him. Who were they stoning? Do you guys know? Stephen, yes. Was he the first Christian to be killed, martyred? Was he? Who was the first then? He was the first. He was the first. But while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. It's kind of like almost, what would we call this? A prediction, a prophecy of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. When he said that, he fell asleep. And Saul, guys, approved of their killing. Saul approved of their killing him. We see Paul violently pushing through the churches, through the people. The people are the church, right? Your body, we are the church. We are the temple. We carry the church. Where you go, if you are in and one with Christ, there goes the church. So you can have church anywhere, people. But here, Paul is going to be he's on a path for the ride of his life. And in Acts 9, 1 through 2, we find Paul, or Saul, passionately involved in persecuting the early church, fervently devoted to the Pharisees' traditions and beliefs. He breathed out threats, planned to arrest and imprison followers of Jesus. People, this is going on right now. Right now. People just like that all over the world are saying this stuff, persecuting Christians. Maybe not yet so much in America, but pastors are being arrested for preaching the word. But he breathed out these threats and planned to arrest and imprison followers of Jesus. His actions revealed a heart hardened against the good news. He was driven by a zealous determination to stomp out this emerging movement of the way. Man, if he was, if he actually fulfilled this, we would not be here talking right now. So in verse 9, 1 through 2, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners of Jerusalem. How scary would that be, guys? How scary. So many people would conform to what they're in because they would be so scared of this coming their way. You have to think typically history repeats itself, right? Typically. It has this revolving door, kind of. And in the New Testament, Revelations, we get to see this play out in a prophecy. But during Saul's devotions, his devotion to going after the followers of Jesus, he got to encounter our Lord firsthand. Do you guys remember the moment when you encountered the Lord firsthand? Do you remember that moment? Hands. Remember. You guys remember. Remember that moment. That is the life-changing moment. That's when you became family. That's when you recognized that you were created, not made out of a piece of bacteria. I remember mine. I just had a gun misfire in my stomach from this guy, and I walked out of the house, and everything stopped. And I heard the voice of the Lord. That's why I'm here today, 14 years later. Because of that encounter. Just like Paul's road to Damascus, his encounter. You guys each have that encounter, or if you haven't had it yet, maybe. Maybe you just believe and not follow. Okay, so you can't just believe, then think you're going to heaven without following Jesus, all right? Those two are married. Faith and deeds, deeds and faith, right? So Paul described, so in chapter 9, verse 3-6, it describes this transformative moment on the road to Damascus where a blinding light from heaven engulfed Saul. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It was the voice of the risen Lord himself. This encounter knocked Saul to the ground and left him blind. It was a pivotal moment that shattered Saul's assumptions and ignited a process of radical transformation, people. Did your meeting with Jesus ignite this radical transformation? If it didn't, you need to ask why. It says, "Search your salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 3 of 9, chapter 9, says, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him." Think about this. He's riding with soldiers, and it's probably all dusty and sandy, and the horses are going, and, you know, he's going to do some bad things, and he's just getting hyped up. He's like, "Yeah, I got some soldiers, man. I'm going to take these people out. They ain't going nowhere. Maybe I'll hang a few. Maybe I'll, you know, put a few on a cross," whatever. He's hyped. And this happens. The light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Did you know before Jesus you were persecuting him? Before you met Jesus, you were persecuting him? Because if you're not with him, you're against him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. He said, "Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." Pivotal moment, right? And right at this moment, the Lord appears to Ananias in a vision, instructing him to go to this crazy man that is completely out of his mind. You know, he follows the traditions to a T. You got to think how OCD he might have been about everything. And Ananias gets to meet him. But Ananias, in a vision, instructed him to go to Saul and restore his sight. How do you restore somebody's sight, people? With faith, right? With faith. Ananias was initially reluctant, knowing of Saul's persecution of believers. However, he trusted God and obeyed. When Ananias laid hands on Saul and prayed, scales fell from his eyes. And he received the Holy Spirit. So there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit, people. There is, but it happens when you receive Jesus, right? You can't receive Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Two and two go hand in hand. So if somebody tells you you haven't received the Spirit yet, but you have Jesus, don't listen to that. Turn the other cheek. Dust your feet off. You know that you received the Spirit. You know he has been leading you. Just like here, we see Paul being led as a blind person. So if you close your eyes and try to walk straight, oh my goodness, especially back then too, the roads were probably all bumpy, you know, he was probably falling all over himself, looked like he was drunk. But when Ananias laid hands on Saul and prayed, scales fell from his eyes and received the Holy Spirit. This faithful act of obedience played a vital role in Paul's transformation. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Verse 13, people. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man, all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. I'm telling you, I don't know, who else is a Paul in here? You got a lot of Pauls in here? I was a Paul, people. People did not want to come to me. Not at all. But when I received that Holy Spirit, like there is this light that engulfs you. And then people just draw near. I think they feel it. Something happens. It's amazing. He says, verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Man, the love of Christ was destroying this religion. Wow. Let's see. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You want to follow Jesus and receive that one? How much he must suffer for my name? Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized at that moment. Baptism, people, is an outward expression of what's going on inside. In baptism, when you come to believe in Christ, when you come to follow, go get baptized. Go get baptized. You don't have to make this huge production of it. Go get baptized. Tell Jim, I want to go to the beach and get baptized. And Jim will say, yes, I'll go baptize you. And but for real, baptism is something that I remember when Jim baptized me, it was like everything fell off. I was washed clean. Not, it wasn't like a magical moment, but it was a moment. a moment that I'll never forget. But he immediately, so he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up, he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. When is the last time, people, you have been obedient without wanting to go through what God wanted you to do? When's the last time you chickened out? God is calling you, people, right now. Each and every single one of you. Each and every single one of you has somebody to talk to, somebody to share the gospel with. How much do you have to hate a person to not share the gospel with them? Think about that. How much do you have to hate a person to not share the gospel with them? Kids, teens, people, life can end in a flash. I've seen it with my own eyes. Life is important. It's not a party. Life is serious a lot because there's people out there dying. People out there dying. Like Paul here, he was blinded and left, but thank God the Lord had a plan for him. Whenever you feel that God's calling you to lay hands on somebody, just do it. Just do it. Pray, lay hands. Right? Right? That's what it talks about. So if you feel the need to do something like that, do it. Ananias was a person we see here who was asked to follow through with a dangerous mission. What if this is all a play, all a gimmick? So what dangerous mission is God asking you to embark on, people? Is he asking you to leave your job? Because your job creates a spot for sinful actions to take place? Or is your job holding you back from embarking on God's journey? I'm not saying leave your job and go, you know, your house is going to, you can't pay for your rent and whatnot. Do it with precision. You know, God just doesn't, he always has a plan, so you plan this out with him. Maybe you're supposed to go to school. Maybe you're supposed to go downstate and, I don't know, be in the hood and help homeless people. I don't know. There's so much mission work to do in the United States, people. So much. This last part, we see Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. He boldly testified about him, people. Boldly. Have you ever testified about Jesus boldly in front of a crowd? He was sharing the gospel. As a former persecutor, he became a fervent preacher. Totally radical. Life 180. That's our church's name. Just a plug in, people. Life 180. He did a 180. Over the course of Paul's life, he became this beacon of God's grace. Planting churches. Thank you, Jim. Writing epistles. And enduring persecution for the sake of the gospel. And look at you now. You received it. For the sake of the gospel. His actions back then had an effect on you. That's insane if you think about it. That domino effect from thousands of years ago. And here we are. Wow. The gospel cannot be defeated. It's here to stay. But verse 20, it says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. What a beautiful story. Beautiful story. From death to life. The story of Paul's conversion, it illustrates God's unmerited grace and also shows his ability to transform lives. Paul's encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus serves as a reminder that no one is beyond the reach of God's redeeming love. Nobody. Not no murderer, not no child raper, nobody. Yeah, nobody. That's right, buddy. See, that's God confirming. There's a confirmation, people. It teaches us that God can transform even the most hostile hearts. It could transform you. He transforms these hostile hearts into vessels of his grace and mercy. Leaking. He has so much of it, it leaks out. And when it leaks out, it touches people. I want you to remember this verse. I don't have it up here, but it's Romans 1:16. 1:16, if you know about Lecrae. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then to the Gentiles." Are you not ashamed, or are you ashamed? When I talk to people, it seems like they're ashamed of their beliefs. I wonder why. Who hurt them? Who destroyed that for them? Well, it's your job to restore that in them, to help them get back up. It's your job. It's our job, my job. So let us take heart the lessons from Paul's life. Just like God transformed Paul, he could transform us. He could transform you right now, continuously. We wake up every morning and what? Renew in a way. But we must, people, be willing to encounter Jesus personally. To surrender our plans. To surrender your plans. Can you do that? Can you surrender your plans? Can you surrender your beliefs? Can you put those at his feet? Can you allow the transformative power to penetrate your heart? Let's be inspired, people. Let's be hyped up about Paul's transformation because we know it can happen to us. He had an unwavering commitment to Christ. Let's get that fervor. Let's proclaim the good news to those around us. Let's trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the lives of others. Let's count on that, people. Remember, God's grace has no bounds. Regardless of our past, our present, any circumstance, our future, if we open our hearts to his love and surrender to his transforming work, we too can experience the unfathomable grace that Paul encountered on the road to Damascus. I'm telling you, God is good. What else is he? Good. God is good. Huh? Thank you. And all the time? Amen, people. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you're on the road right now. Maybe you believe in Christ, but maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus fully yet. Maybe not everything is his. Maybe you still hold back a little bit, just like me. Today we're surrendering. Tomorrow we're surrendering. The next day we're surrendering until we become an image bearer of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for you. You have given us life. Father, we just ask that you show us your way right now. In our minds, in our hearts. You confirm what we think we're supposed to be doing, Lord. Lord, we ask for that strength right now to embark on this journey with you. Lord, we surrender ourselves right now, Father. Father, if there's some hurting hearts out there, comfort them. Be with them. Lord, put them in our paths. May we have divine appointments with people. Lord, thank you for Dighton. Lord, be with all these people. Show them the way. Show them that going to church is not enough. There's more to life than just going to church. Church is a thing that is part of your life, no matter what. It's ingrained in your DNA. Now we got ingrained. Lord, help us to ingrain in our DNA true mission work out on our streets. Protect them, be with them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just ask that you transform our hearts, and in that process, you protect us. Lord, we praise you. We are so thankful for all that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we give back our lives. We surrender our lives right now. Lord, we thank you. We're so thankful for the provisions, Lord. Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand, rise, people.